This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 4 o'clock on Friday, which means while you're at happy hour, we're talking Chiefs with Nate Taylor from here's C-Dot and Nate.
We do the impossible.
Back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. We'll be joined by Nate Taylor of The Athletic. He's running a little bit behind today, but it's perfectly fine. I'll keep you busy until Nate gets here. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app.
Hold on, we got a few minutes. I know Nate's going to be a few minutes late, so I get to play this again. I love it.
I mean, really?
Third triple of the night goes through, and it is all flame.
Oh, no! We suck again!
Tigers, 3 of 20 from the field.
No one needed this.
And it's just not happening for the Tigers, man. Not happening.
And that's going to do it. Liberty Flames get the dominating win, 66.
Dominating.
45, the final.
We are destined to continue to fail and be disappointed year after year after year.
That was funny to you?
I had a good time. I enjoyed it.
You thought that was the best use of our free time?
I had
you
a good time.
The free time without having Nate Taylor, that was the best usage of your time?
I mean,
give me liberty or give me death.
Give me liberty or give me death.
Konzo chose death yesterday. Obviously. Konzo chose death. He didn't want anything to do with Liberty. Now we're good. We'll pass on Liberty. Give me death. It wasn't just that they lost yesterday to Liberty. It was that they got smoked by Liberty.
Only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
I want Nate to be late more often. This has been a great time. I hope he never shows up. We can do this all hour.
I mean, they were down 14-3 by the first media timeout. 14-3. Before they got to the first media timeout, they were done. They were cooked. The game had reached its conclusion. That's the team I cheer for. They might have to put a caution on next Saturday's MUKU game. Parental discretion is advised. You know how when you buy a video game, it's got that rating in the corner, the M for mature? That's what next week's border, what are they calling it now? Border showdown? It ain't the border war anymore. It's just a showdown.
I mean, it's going to be a border bloodbath. And I'm ecstatic. I'm happy. I have tickets in pocket. What are you dropping to go to that one, pal?
$0.
You got a freebie? Congrats.
$0. You think I would call in a favor for that ass whooping? Tickets is already hard to come by. I could probably go, but I'm not calling in a favor for that. No interest.
Gorgeous sun drip day in Lawrence. I don't know why you turn that down.
I'll go next year when it's at Mizzou Arena. Then I can at least enjoy a nice day in Columbia. But I refuse to be at this contest. I don't have any interest. Somebody said, where is Liberty? The high school up north? Yes, that's who they lost to. Liberty. They lost to my guy, Scott Fleming. Jacob Street. Nick Robinson. Gave them all kind of buckets.
And they could use some of those guys right now. Literally, right now.
Nick Robinson would start on this team. Somebody said, damn, MU got beat by the Limu Emu. Bro, relax. That's what I mean. See, when you get the text line started.
Hey, you know what we should blame? Nate Taylor. Nate Taylor said, I'm going to be a few minutes late. And I said, okay, I got this.
The text line.
Don't worry about it.
The text line will be dormant. They'll be fine. They won't be bothering anybody. It'll just be quiet. And then you'll play something like this and get them going. And you don't got to do that.
Only pay for what you need.
Liberty.
Bill Self's licking his chops in his office right now. He's going to have Holly Rowe in there. They're going to put all the rings on.
Oh, Holly Rowe's definitely going to be in the building.
And they're going to use those rings to just smack Mizzou up.
No, see how Nate came through for me?
His headphones aren't in yet. We got in there a few minutes of this.
He's not always there when you call, but he's always on time. Shout out to Nate. Thanks, Nate, for saving me. Somebody said, who is Liberty? You don't want to know who Liberty is.
They're a flame university.
Didn't they make the tournament last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, it's not that bad losing to tournament teams. That happens.
Exactly, like the Ruse coming to town, and they're a tournament. Wait a second.
Okay, all right, I'm done. We're done. Nate's here. We're talking football. No more of your give me Liberty or give me death drops. No more of that. It's over. They were down 33-7 yesterday at the hands of Liberty. It's over. I told you. Get all your jokes now, text line, because after next Monday, we're never talking about Missouri basketball again on this show. Not a single time in conference play will they come up on this show. I'll talk about anything else other than them.
You don't think they can get up for like 8 minutes against Kansas?
No. I don't.
I can't. Look. If you don't want to be in Liberty, I get it. But this is Kansas. Can they give you two TV timeouts worth of basketball that's entertaining and competitive?
They can't score. Missouri has put together a team that can't shoot.
Ugh.
That can't make baskets.
They're also not that great at rebounding.
Not good at anything.
Which was kind of like Konzo's thing. Like,
they're not good at any of the things that you would need to be good at basketball.
We're going to play defense and rebound. Like,
no, they're not good at any of those things.
Well,
they're not good at any of the things that you would need. You want to know what this is? Basically MU basketball.
We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We couldn't stop the run. Every time they got the ball and went down and got points, we got our totally kicked in the second half.
That's basically Missouri basketball. That sums up what I've been watching. And I'm done. I quit. They have broken my spirit. I don't want to watch them anymore. I want to talk to you about the Chiefs. That seems like a much more enjoyable experience.
You're welcome, Rob. I gave it another 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's it. I'm done. I don't want to talk about this game yet. We'll get to this game in a little bit. I think there's only four teams in the AFC right now that their arrow is trending up. Their arrow is trending up. Kansas City, New England, Cincinnati, and Indianapolis. I don't think anybody else's arrow right now is trending up.
Look, man, I'm going to give you the first three. I can't trust Carson Wentz yet. I'll give you the three. Now, the schedule may help Indianapolis, but at no point will I feel like I can trust them.
I agree with that.
If they get to January, you know. So, look, Cincinnati's good. I'm picking them in my Survivor, you know, my back's against the wall because, you know, the Eagles last week.
Everybody in Survivor lost last week. So, right now, it's just me, you, and Clang.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. I need the Bengals to do the job on Sunday. But you're right. I mean, I think the only two teams that I can actually trust are the Chiefs and the Patriots. Now, the Bengals, we'll see if they can get into the playoffs. That would be a successful season for them. Guys, it's happening. Like, I've watched the last two or three Patriots games. I can't remember. Yeah, I've watched the last because they played the Falcons, which was a dismantling on Thursday night. I watched most of the game against Tennessee. And then I got a little bit of their game against Cleveland. I guess those are their last three games because the Chiefs were in Las Vegas and they were the night game. They're good. They're just really, really good. Like, up front. Offensive line, defensive line, they've put it together. You know their coaches can coach. You know their coaches get better as the season goes on. I trust the Patriots. It'll be fascinating, and I've sort of had this conversation with some friends, but the next step is to see Daniel Jones down 10 in a second half, whether that's in January or later on this month. Like, if you're Buffalo on Monday night, like, can you put a little bit of pressure on Daniel Jones and make him beat you? But outside of that, man, they're a really effective team. But for the Chiefs, it's right there in front of them. You win on Sunday. The division is pretty much in your command. And then you can try to see how much you can chase down either the Patriots and the Ravens, because those are the teams that obviously have the advantage right now in terms of having the inside track to the number one seed.
I made this point earlier in the week, and I want to run it by you. Every team that the Chiefs have played in the AFC is worse now than when they played Kansas City.
Yeah, I heard you say this, and I was like, wow, I hadn't thought of that. But it's true. It is unquestionably true at this point because they won't play the Patriots this year on their schedule. Cincinnati may be at its best form when they play them to end the regular season. But as far as the teams they've played so far, all of those teams have gotten worse due to injury, some coaching situations, the quarterbacks not being as good or healthy, and the supporting cast around those quarterbacks has also gone down too.
Yeah, and I just think that the worst thing the AFC did was let Kansas City hang around. Like, you had an opportunity to bury them. If you're Tennessee, no, you wouldn't have buried Kansas City, but you would have maybe locked up the one seed for yourself while mm-hmm. you get healthy. You squander that opportunity by losing to the Houston Texans and the New York Jets. If you're Baltimore, you had an opportunity to maybe put yourself in the position to get that one seed. You've kind of squandered it just a little bit. That I sort of look at it where I don't think Kansas City can get the one seed now because they just don't have any of the tiebreakers. You basically have to win out. And you have to hope that no other team in the AFC wins 13 games, which one other team in the AFC is probably going to win 13 games, just kind of based on how it is. But if you're the two seed going into the playoffs and you won seven of your last eight or eight of your last nine, you will pick Kansas City to win against every other AFC team in the playoffs, regardless of where that game is played.
Yeah. You're so right because anybody listening right now, if the Chiefs have to go to Tennessee for the divisional round, are you nervous?
No, not at all.
If they've got to go to Buffalo, are you nervous?
No.
I think the only thing that sort of like scares you
a little bit. I say a little bit. But I don't want to say no and dismiss it. But like right now, I'd much rather go to Tennessee than go to Buffalo if I choose rather to.
Right. But to your point earlier, Buffalo is not – like, their Super Bowl was week five, and there's a little bit of issue with that. Like, why did the Bills created their entire offseason to go beat the Chiefs? You know, the NFL put its schedule out, and week five was them and Arrowhead. That's their best win of the season, and that's the most complete they've played. Since then, they have kind of been a team that has kind of not executed to the high enough level that I thought they would, given that they were – supposed to be contenders. They seem like a team that is kind of, you know, Jekyll and hiding a little bit. But I don't think you would necessarily be nervous going there in January. The only place I think that you could be like, I don't like it because, like, it's always cold up there and he always got them right this time of year is, like, Bill Belichick. And the difference between the Patriots this year and last year, it's not actually on offense. It's because they got really healthy on defense. All those guys came back who opted out. Matthew Judon is really good, and they get turnovers. They don't make mistakes. Like, it's impressive what Daniel Jones, excuse me, what Mac Jones has done so far. But the Patriots are good because their defense is really good.
I just want to point out that Mac is so average, you called him Daniel Jones. And I haven't even really flinched at him being Daniel Jones.
I mean, there's just so many Joneses.
He might actually be Daniel Jones, just with a much better coach. I will say this, though, about the Broncos. That has been a little bit surprising to me with every guest that we've had on. We had on Rodney Harrison today. Terrell Davis was on. We've had on two Broncos guests this week. Nobody thinks the Broncos are good. Can you think of the last team that was over 500 in December in a really tough and really competitive AFC the way the Broncos are, that no one believes it? You don't know a single – you talk to NFL people from around the country.
Yep.
You work at a network with, what, hundreds of people that write about the NFL.
Yep.
There's not a single person that's like, man, you know what? People are really underestimating this Broncos team. Not a single person believes this.
You know what my takeaway was watching last week's game between the Broncos and Chargers was, Carrington? You don't know what my biggest takeaway is? I think that's the worst game I've ever seen Justin Herbert play. It had nothing to do with Denver. It was like, wow, their quarterback kind of stinks. It's been a fine 5-5 season. We may look up a month from now and be like, yeah, that was all kind of fool's gold. Teddy Bridgewater is not a bad quarterback, but he's also not really good or great.
I called him a Honda Accord earlier.
Ooh.
And I don't mean that with any shade towards a Honda Accord. Honda Accord is a really reliable car. It will get you from point A to point B. You're not picking up no girls in a Honda Accord, though. But you got a really reliable means of transportation.
Yep.
That's what he is. He's a really reliable means of transportation. He's not flashy. You're not getting in any street races with him. The girls aren't flocking to your car, but it's going to get you to work. It's going to get you to school. It's going to get you to take your kids to practice or whatever you need to do.
So
he's a Honda Accord.
It's going to get you 5-5 in a primetime game in early December. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, that was Mahomes. I got them that. That was Mahomes. That was Patrick Mahomes.
That was a Ferrari.
Patrick Mahomes.
That's right. You know, shout out to Louis Riddick, who obviously calls Patrick the Ferrari. Oh, so I'm saying last week's game is about Justin Herbert. You're saying this week's game is about Patrick Mahomes. That tells you the Denver Broncos.
I actually
in a
thought
nutshell.
That Patrick Surtain played pretty well last week. Like, I actually thought Surtain played really well last week. I'm with you. Like, I don't think Herbert played really well. I think Surtain is special, though, or has a chance to be special.
Yes, he has a chance to be special, but let's acknowledge the pick six was literally handed to him because the guy threw the ball about 200 miles an hour, and Austin Eckler's like, man, what you do? And then, you know, it's as easy a pick six as you can get. Now, he did play well, but the Chiefs' offense is relatively healthy outside of the right tackle situation. Andy Reid coming out of a bye is really, really good, especially with Patrick Mahomes. What is it, 7-1, I believe, at this point?
Mahomes has never lost to the Broncos. He's 7-0 against them.
Yeah.
They've only really played one close game against them. That was the Monday Night Football game.
In 18. Yeah.
That's the one game where you were like, oh, the Broncos could beat Kansas City in this game. They outplayed Kansas City for the first 50 minutes of that game, and then Mahomes was like, yeah, this is over. Like, I'm going to make more plays than you're going to make, and we're going to win this football game here. That's really been it. So I made the point earlier that this, to me, is really about foundation. And the Broncos and Chiefs foundation are just very, very different. The Chiefs have an owner. Everybody in the ownership group appears to get along with each other. Mm-hmm. Can't say that about the Broncos right now.
No, you can't.
Front office-wise, the Broncos had a general manager you didn't trust to get the quarterback position right. Your general manager got the quarterback position right. Coaching-wise, not close. One team has a Hall of Fame coach. The other coach has who will be Alabama's D coordinator at the end of this season. And then quarterback, it's not close between the two. It's not close between the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So if you look at those four things as the pillar of anybody's organization, the Chiefs maybe have the best foundation of any team in the league, and the Broncos are bottom five in foundation in the NFL.
Yeah, with some nice pieces, you know, sprinkled along the way. But no, I mean, I think if you're a Denver Broncos fan, you know, a lot of the discussion is, man, when is it gonna take us, and what is it gonna take us to beat the Chiefs? because that's the team that's controlling your division. That's the team that's preventing you from reaching the postseason. I think, you know, if we're all smart, reasonable, logical individuals, the Chiefs should win by about a touchdown to about two touchdowns, somewhere in between. And clearly, you know, if you're a person who cares about gambling, I've seen it at, what, nine? I've seen it at 9.5. I mean, do people – I mean, ask yourself this. Whose defense do you trust? Because weirdly, I might trust the Chiefs' defense more than the Denver Broncos' defense right now.
I think it's one of those things where I probably like Denver's defense more than I like Kansas City's, but – one defense is going up against Patrick Mahomes. The other defense is going up against Teddy Bridgewater, yes. Where I think what makes the Chiefs very different now than the first 6 weeks of the season is Kansas City, the first 6 weeks, could only really beat you one way. They had to beat you 35-31, or they just were not going to win that football game. Mm-hmm. Now they're able to beat you 35-31 if they need to. They also can beat you 24-17 if they need to. They can beat you 17-13 if they need to. At least that's the way their defense is played. So if this game turns out to be played at a little slower pace than I think it is, and you look at Denver's defense like, huh, all right, Denver's defense
is good.
I kind of underestimated it's Denver's good. Defense a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's still a game that I don't think Mahomes has to be Superman in order for you to win the game, where I thought earlier in the season they basically just asked him to be Superman.
Yeah, and you know, for arm talent, it is comparable for Herbert and Mahomes to be sort of the one comparable. You know, Herbert missed Herbert missed throws. Like, there was chances for the Chargers to gain more yards, to have more chances for points than what they had in their loss to the Broncos, where we all assume Mahomes will make those plays. If guys are open, you know, he will be more accurate with the football. I don't know what's going on with Justin Herbert. It's one of the weirdest things right now because this may be his first slump as an NFL starter. But for Mahomes to be a little bit more healthier, for Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill to get that week off, which I thought was really important in the middle of the season. And look, there's a reason if you give Andy Reid extra time to find the principles of your defense, the weaknesses, to sort of stretch you one way and then throw the ball another way, you have to give the Chiefs just about every advantage in this matchup, and now it just comes down to execution. And that's been one of the hardest things for this team to get it, you know, collectively to get a hold of before this four-game winning streak was just execute. The plays are there to be made. Don't miss tackles. Don't turn the ball over. Don't drop passes. It's all those little things that could keep a Denver Broncos-type team in Sunday night's game. But if the Chiefs execute the way we all anticipate, this should be a fairly, I won't say comfortable win, but it should be a win that represents where the season's going, which means, again, we trust the Chiefs. They have earned everyone's trust after 4 weeks. No one really looked great outside of New England in the AFC last week. And so if they respond and increase their winning streak to a fifth game, then this is the team everyone expected versus that really weird seven-game stretch where they were all of a sudden 3-4 and we were questioning, is this a playoff team? So they've turned it around, but be the team that you've been over the last month versus the team that you were the first 2 months of the season.
We had an AFC West whip around on Tuesday. We asked all three of the beat writers, would you take the over on 9.5 wins on your team? Every team right now is 6-5 in the division other than the Kansas City Chiefs. Would you take the over of 9.5 wins of any other team in the division?
If Justin Herbert is good, then I would say sure. Like the Raiders could lose to Washington. Like it could happen. So
I would say any of the other three teams can lose to just about anybody in the league.
Yeah. And I haven't looked at everyone's schedules, the remaining schedules just yet, but I mean, the problem with this is, and I wonder if those reporters suggested this too, everybody's got to play Kansas City at least once and or twice if you're Denver. So I'm leaning probably towards no, but I think the Chargers have the talent to do it, but they're kind of to what you said earlier. They are a team that actually needs to win games 35-31, like they did against the Pittsburgh Steelers. because their run defense is atrocious. They've had some injuries on defense. Derwin James can't cover everybody. But they've got to kind of be in this shootout format where Denver obviously kept the game at a much lower scoring pace. I still give the Chargers some benefit of the doubt. What the Raiders did against the Cowboys was somewhat circumstantial. And like I said at the beginning of the year, I'm wildly impressed. Denver has 5 wins now, Carrington. I thought they'd be the worst team in the division. So I'm going to slightly say no, but give the best chance to the Chargers.
Coming up on the other side, I want to ask you about 2 separate players. I want to ask you about Mecole Hardman, who appears to be in timeout right now. I also want to ask you about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I'm uncertain if he's going to play on Sunday. We'll do that next. Nate Taylor of The Athletic in studio. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with CDOT and Nate Taylor on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is first down and goal to go. The Chiefs will run a reverse option pitch. They pitch it wide. Clyde Edwards-Helaire angling right. Touchdown, Kansas City, on a reverse option pitch into the end zone. And the Chiefs now on 3 drives have had touchdown, field goal, touchdown.
I'm a big believer that the snap count tells you everything that you need to know. Like, we can argue and debate some things, but he who gets on the field is who the team trusts the most. The last 2 weeks, Mecole Hardman played in 24 snaps against the Las Vegas Raiders. They didn't even feel comfortable playing him in a blowout. And against the Dallas Cowboys, he played in 12 snaps. That was good for 17% of the game. This is obviously a reduction in roles on where he was at the beginning of the season. They have also, now it appears, taken him off special teams as well and replaced him on kick return or punt return.
Yep.
Do you think McColl's back next year? Because a lot of the evidence, I think, is sort of trending to they move on from him at the end of the season. The same way that Veach has those Veach specials where you pick up DeAndre Baker or Mike Hughes or you know the names. Doesn't it kind of feel like we're headed to where they move on from Mecole Hardman at the end of the season and just try something new, something different?
I don't know if we're there, but it is worth asking and sort of considering where the snap counts go, especially in this last 6 weeks of the season. He has so much speed that there is this sort of role for him within the offense. You would assume that a player would get better the longer he's in the league, especially on the life of a rookie deal, and he still has another year left on his rookie contract. There would have to be more evidence, again, over the rest of this season to where you just don't feel like you can, that's just not a good investment to keep the player. But there is something for a player of that talent in terms of speed, escapability, you know, the chance to make one broken tackle turn into something bigger for what's relatively a cost-controlled salary in their fourth season. Like, you know, free agency's coming with a guy that has a second-round pick, and what you would hope is that you would sign that player to an extension this offseason, this one that's coming up, before you start the fourth year, because obviously then you can sort of stretch it out and get some costs relatively down. But You know, there's a reason that they've given Josh Gordon more run of late.
I mean, to be fair, though, they ain't really throwing Josh Gordon the football. But they're giving him more
snaps,
cardio exercises, but they're not really giving him much of responsibility. If you had to divvy up, so like, let's say it's a full pie of blame.
Yes.
And there's a Chiefs percentage of blame and a Mecole Hardman percentage of blame. How much would you give out in terms of him not developing? Because the first 8 games of Mecole Hardman's career have been pretty good. Like, they were really good. Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill was out. He was getting big plays.
Yep.
You felt really optimistic. Oh, man, when they get Sammy back and they get Tyreek back, he's going to really fall in nicely. And that's sort of been it. He hasn't been a big play receiver down the field. He hasn't really developed as a pass-catching option. He's not even their number 3 wide receiver at this point. He's a gadget player. He's a jet sweep guy, change of pace kind of guy. That's not where you want to be as a third or as a second round pick in your third year.
No, probably not. I want to say it's probably 70-30 in McColl in terms of the blame. I mean, what I'm struggling to understand, and you know, and it might be all the way with the coaching staff too, is look, I was writing in The Athletic. I saw things during the OTA mandatory mini camp and even into training camp where it was like, oh, this guy's going to have a role. Like, they're giving him every opportunity to sort of seize control of that, you know, third, leading the team in third targets, receptions, yards, touchdowns, obviously alongside Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. And for whatever reason, he's not gotten as – he hasn't improved as much in route running as I anticipated. There were so many times last season, in the 2020 season, where I could just show you every cut up where Patrick's like, you should be there. You should flatten your route. You should come back to the ball. Like, where are you going? The Buccaneers are giving us one-on-one opportunity with your speed and deep threat ability. Like, why can't we get on the same page in the Super Bowl when we've had roughly 19 games to get this right? And for whatever reason, they have not designed plays for him to go deep as much of late, which I find to be puzzling. But if they're kind of to your thought, Carrington, where they're just like, let's just use him for what he's good at, let's simplify it more than add on to the player in terms of what they can maintain, retain, and then apply to the field, that's usually a player problem. That's not a coaching staff of this caliber. I find that probably more to be on the player's fault than the organization, the coaching staff, and the structure that's within that facility.
So I was thinking about doing a blind test earlier today where I was going to put Darrell Williams rushing yards and Clyde Edwards-Helaire's rushing stats, and then I was going to do their receiving stats and like, which one would you rather have? And when I actually like went down to write it, I was like, I don't know if Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to win this. So I just didn't, like, it didn't really help my argument there. So I just didn't do it. I don't know if he's going to play on Sunday. Like, based on kind of how Andy Reid treats these situations, if you don't go on Friday, then you just don't go at all.
Mm-hmm.
Are we sure he's going to play on Sunday? And I mean, at some point, your best ability is availability, and Darryl continues to be there.
Mm-hmm.
He has been a productive player to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
You eventually lose your spot in the National Football League if this continues to happen. I don't want to go that far when it comes to him, but are you worried about his ability to go on Sunday against the Broncos?
Now, for our listeners, Andy Reid said he expects Clyde to play on Sunday, but that's both an optimistic viewpoint and – can we, as you mentioned, can we have you available? Now, he missed today's practice with a stomach illness. We all know how that feels. That's like a 2-day, potentially running into 3-day, where you're just like, I don't feel great, let alone retaining things, playing at the best of your abilities. So he may be available. I don't know how effective he'll be if he's still dealing with some stomach illness. I remember in the 2019 season that Frank Clark for multiple weeks was going through his stomach issues. And I don't want to compare the two, but I'm just saying, even when he was performing, he was telling us afterwards, that didn't feel good. So whatever Clyde does give the Chiefs on Sunday, if he is in uniform, he's not going to feel 100%. But I think the team expects him to play, but his role may be reduced to what they expected coming out of the bye week, which is like, okay, let's get back to this tag team tandem. And I think Andy's probably at a point, if both people are available, if both players are fully healthy, let's see in the first half, first 20 minutes, and whoever is performing well will get the majority of the snaps moving forward in that game. I think that's kind of where the coaching staff is. But Clyde is the starter, but that doesn't necessarily mean he'll end the game. And so I just want to frame fans' minds in that aspect. Like, if Clyde plays, he needs to play and play well. And he did have a nice stretch against the Cowboys. And that's what kept him on the field. But that's what's going to take for that to sort of continue. Whereas if Darryl gets to a nice start in the second quarter, then they just may say, hey, that's the guy we're going with in the second half.
I will still never understand why they don't throw the ball at Clyde Edwards-Helaire more. Like,
Patrick pitched it to him.
There's no argument anyone can make for me that you rather give Darryl Williams 15 carries over Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, there's literally no argument you can make to pick Darryl Williams. If you're asking who the more complete back is, there's some numbers that you can use that would argue Darryl Williams. Now,
and pass protection, too. You know, that's why Jerick McKinnon was still having his role, was because he was so good at pass protection, especially when the Chiefs would go from the shotgun. And Darryl Williams can do the same thing where he can at least chip on a defensive end. He can take on a blitzer. He can obviously escape, you know, out into the flat and be a viable option. Clyde Edwards-Helaire hasn't done that. He hasn't done those things consistently enough to where, like you said, how confident are you for him to be that, you know, that third down back if necessary? Or if you're not going to want him in that sort of world because Darryl is so good at it, put him at receiver. You know, it's funny that, you know, we have the NFL Network on in here, and I'm still flabbergasted that the Cowboys, up 10, motioned out Ezekiel Elliott on a gimpy knee and had him run a slant route. The Chiefs haven't done that all year with a healthy Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So
they also ran back-to-back screenplays for him on Thanksgiving. Like,
yes,
like the Cowboys really try to get Ezekiel Elliott to football.
Some
now,
yards. Yeah.
It don't always work all the time that they try to do it, but they really try to get Ezekiel Elliott to football. The Chiefs don't really try to get Clyde Edwards-Helaire the ball, which is why did you spend this asset if you don't really want to fully utilize the asset? It just doesn't make any sense to me. Text some questions in 913-576-7610. I'll throw some to Nate. We'll keep talking some Chiefs and Broncos and get you ready for Sunday night football here at Arrowhead. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app.
You're listening to The Drive with CDOT and Nate Taylor on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
There are two really good questions on the text line. We're sitting in here with Nate Taylor of The Athletic. The first question is, Nate, are you expecting the defense to have a better night against the Broncos or the offense? I think that's a really good question. I'm under the belief, and I'm curious to get your thoughts, I don't think their offense is going back to normal this season. I think there was a time in which their offense could basically just roll the ball out there and hang 30 up on anybody. They've only scored more than 21 points one time in the last 5 weeks. I'm not saying they won't have some weeks where they hang a 34 spot on somebody. But last year in the postseason, in their two games, I felt pretty confident they were going to score a lot in both of those games.
Right.
I think there's going to be a playoff game that they might win the game, but they're going to win that game 21-17. They're not winning it 31-27, I would say. So I don't think their offense is returning to what people normally expect. I actually expect their defense to look better against the Broncos than their offense, A, because I do believe in their defense and the improvement, and they're going up against Teddy Bridgewater, and I think they can hold him to 230 yards, one touchdown, and maybe turn him over a couple times.
All your points are very, very sound. Thank you, Texter. I agree. Incredible question. I'm going to lean on the coach who spent 13 days looking at the Denver Broncos defense, who is going to be in the Hall of Fame, who is known for just slicing people up after a bye. Do you know how many? They could have hung 50 on the Cleveland Browns coming off a bye in the divisional round last year had the quarterback not gotten hurt. They were on their way to torching that team. And that team had a pretty good defense at the time, given where the Browns started and where they finished. I'm just going to say offense just because the quarterback had a week to take a break, to recharge, to recalibrate some things. And because of what the Chiefs did to the Raiders, which was a statement game where they just said, look, we're just going to show things. We're going to make it clear we're better than y'all. And I wonder if Andy, Eric Bieniemy, Mike Kafka, and Patrick Mahomes, they'll have a similar message for the Broncos to say, hey, y'all been great on defense, but our offense, like, if the offense can get back to being normal, which is like 30 a game, this would be a very nice start because they've had time to prepare and execute at a high level.
Another question from the text line that I think is a really good question. Why are the Chiefs not giving Nick Bolton more snaps? Nick Bolton, if you want to talk about doing more with less, there's no player on the team that has done more with less than Nick Bolton. He plays in like 25 snaps.
He'll be tackling everybody.
But will have nine tackles in those 25 snaps. It just doesn't make sense.
Right. He is a first down god. Where you need me to go through the A gap or the B gap, coach. All right. Here it comes. I think the reason is more methodical. They are going to try to stretch Nick Bolton for the whole season because quietly, and I'm going to say this real quiet, their linebackers cannot get hurt. Like, they just can't. So if you can save a few snaps here, save a few snaps there, and then when it's playoff time, let the dogs run, I'd be totally fine with that sort of strategy. Nick Bolton is a rookie. He will not play as many games. He's never played this many games in a football season in his life. So it makes sense to say, hey, be a first and second down guy. If Anthony Hitchens is here, let's lean on the veteran. And hey, let's have you continue to shoot through B gaps to tackle as many people as you can. And it's an experience thing too. Spagnuolo has always been someone who's like, hey, I like to bring the young guys along little by little, slowly as the season goes along. So it, in my opinion, it makes sense for him to play the amount of snaps he's played, considering that everybody else is healthy on defense. But one way to keep him healthy and to make sure that his body stays right is to sort of do what they're doing for all 17 games through an 18-week season and then be ready to go in the playoffs.
Text line 913-576-7610. Williams is going to be the number one running back with Denver. It doesn't appear that Melvin Gordon is going to play.
Right.
Do you think this helps the Chiefs or doesn't have an effect on the game?
I think it kind of helps the Chiefs because, you know,
I think Williams is the better running back out of the two.
You can say that, but there are still some times where Melvin is sort of broken free and gives you a nice chunk gain. And that's the benefit of having two running backs is obviously fresh legs, a different guy, to sort of change the pace. The Chiefs quietly, y'all, and I wrote about this earlier today, and it'll be on The Athletic later as a preview, but the Chiefs have actually been really successful on first down runs. Like, their success rate on defense, I'm saying, their success rate over this four-game winning streak has been more than half. So they're getting almost 70% of not giving up a play that is negative in the EPA category, the expected points added analytic statistics. So where, you know, all of a sudden those first downs aren't translating to second and threes. They're translating to first and sevens or second and eights, you know, second and sevens. And so Williams will be a nice test, but I do think it favors the Chiefs that they don't appear to have both healthy running backs in Denver.
Right now, we're talking to Nate Taylor from The Athletic for a couple of more minutes here. I'm picking the Chiefs to win this game. Mm-hmm. I think the Chiefs' only chance to lose this game is by just playing sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
Turnovers, penalties, just not playing at a really high level. I don't think the Broncos can beat the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs could beat the Chiefs on Sunday. I think the Chiefs can come out like they did against Washington, for example.
Yep.
Just kind of sleepwalk through the game and keep this game a lot closer than it needs to be. I'm buying into the Chiefs in that it's changed. The way that they're talking, the way that they're playing, the moves that they're making, the changes that they're making. I'm buying into that this is a different energy, a different Kansas City Chiefs team than we've seen the first 7 weeks of the season.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs know, as I said before, it's in front of them. And that message has been said throughout the facility all week. Hey, did you have a nice bye week? Cool. How's your family? Great. What'd you eat on Thanksgiving? All right. Everybody feel good? Everybody get through the COVID protocols, which they did. All right, boys, it's all in front of you. You know, we need to win this game for divisional reasons and the obvious to keep our winning streak going. But, you know, these guys are human. They've looked at the AFC West or the AFC standings. They understand that there's still a chance for them on the outside to make it really, really interesting. So the Chiefs are a team that I assume will be getting better as the season goes along. And now they're in a position to peak at the right time, which is right after Thanksgiving, right as the weather gets cold, even though it's been 70 this week in a pleasant manner.
It's supposed to be like 39 degrees at some point during the game.
Yeah, it'll dip.
It's going to get cold.
It'll dip when the sun goes down. But, yeah, I expect this team to, like I said, they have a real chance to peak at the right time to, like you mentioned earlier, Carrington, be a dangerous two seed. And that all starts with, you know, taking care of business against a divisional opponent that you've dominated for what should be the 12th straight time.
Nate, we have like a minute and a half left on the show, and I want to get your thoughts on these games. Rob, hit my music. I think there's like four important games this weekend in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Los Angeles at Cincinnati. Who you got?
Taking Cincinnati and Survivor. Come on, Joe Burrow. Mixon playing really well as a running back. One of the few healthy, good running backs left.
Pittsburgh hosting the Baltimore Ravens.
You could say Pittsburgh, insert this team, and I'm taking insert this team. It's the wheels are falling off in Pittsburgh.
The other important matchup is Monday Night Football, New England at Buffalo. I'm taking New England straight up on Monday night.
I kind of want to, too.
Come on over to the dark side and take the Patriots.
All right, I'll join you. I'm a little nervous with Mac Jones in a primetime game on the road if they're down 10. But this might be the revenge tour of Bill Belichick reminding people of how good he is at this. He's so good.
He's the best.
He's so good at this.
I can't believe that we let Cam Newton change our opinion of Bill Belichick, which is basically we let Cam Newton in COVID. Remember, they had all those opt-outs last year. They were kind of stuck, I think, in a no man's land. They picked up Cam. It didn't work.
Yep.
They were super aggressive in free agency. They got all those players back off COVID, and the Patriots are a really good football
team. They back.
That's Nate Taylor of The Athletic joining us on the show. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will get you ready for Sunday Night Football, Chiefs and Broncos in the hits and the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Also get you ready for a really important Saturday in college football as we determine who the four best teams are as they advance to the playoff. All that coming up next. Keep it locked in right here at 610 Sports Radio.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.